Welcome to episode 74 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Joining us, Bert Cassino, rotating panel of guests, and myself, Ian Levitsky, discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. It is our second review corner as we review three more books. Hopefully this time we have it down pat. Hopefully this time you're not going to get bored. Well, you didn't get bored last time, did you? Here now, Comic Timing. Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levitsine, and welcome to episode 74 of Comic Timing. Well, it's time for review corner number two. Feels like it hasn't really been that long since review corner number one, because we haven't gotten that many episodes out. I'm sorry. What can I say? Life comes first, and I'm looking to get out of my small-ass room. So I think that takes precedent. But we are joined yet again by the co-host, not co-host, co-host, whose room is way bigger than mine. It's Brent Cassino. What's going on, Brent?
Hopefully, that'll only be for a little while longer, right, Ian?
Hopefully, dude. Hopefully. I'm seeing a couple of places on Thursday afternoon, so hopefully one of them's going to look kick-ass and we're going to move in. So, cross my fingers, man. Crossing my fingers.
Well, I mean, I'll still be paying, like, a lot less rent than you, so could always hold that over your head.
Oh, thanks a lot. How much you pay for the dorm room?
I don't pay any. Mom and Dad do. Acha!
How much does Mom and Dad pay?
$1,500 a semester over 4 months.
For the dorm room?
Yeah.
Okay, that's not too bad. Yeah, that is actually less than I'll be paying, because I'll probably end up paying about $600 a month.
That's not bad either, actually.
Yeah, not too shabby.
A little high for Gainesville, but I don't know what it is for New York.
It is moderately adequate for Brooklyn, so suck on that. Yeah, I'd rather you not suck on that. All right, so we're deep into another Review Corner episode, even though we just got started. So this month we're going to be doing three books. Why did I say two? We're doing three books this month yet again, because that's the way it goes. We're doing Blue Beetle number 31. We are doing Back to Brooklyn number 1. And we're doing Avengers the Initiative number 17. So I will take this pause moment here for you to grab those issues and read them. Okay, we're back. Hope you guys enjoyed that. That was good, right?
Well, they've had a couple weeks, you know.
Oh, I certainly.
And we let them know ahead of time. They have no excuse not to be going to heroescorner.com and getting these issues.
Yes, and in fact, this episode is sponsored by. Wait for it. Heroescorner.com. All right. Hey.
Talk Surprise.
So the October special this month, and I am so very, very happy to have this as a special. Now, for those of you who listened to the Super Show episode of Comic Timing, you got to know Sean Pryor a little bit. And Brent, you got to know Sean Pryor a little bit listening to the episode, even though you weren't there. And I'm sure you got an impression that he's one of the nicest guys ever, right?
He seemed really cool, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he certainly is one of the nicest guys I've ever met. And I'm not like, saying this just so he'll sound awesome. Seriously, honest to God, he is one of the nicest guys I've ever met. And
sure you're not blowing smoke up his ass?
I'm not blowing smoke up his ass. He's one of the nicest guys I've ever met. Please give me a job. Anyway, No. I kid. But anyway, so he's got a book called Mercury and the Murd, which is based on Adam Murdo, which, you know, automatically makes it awesome, because those mutton chops are king right there. And he's putting out a Mercury and the Murd, the collected edition. And what that is the first four issues combined into one 48-page monster. And that's going to be coming out under Heroes Corner. And the price on that is going to be really effing cheap. And you're getting that discounted for $2.59 off of the regular price. That's 48 pages for $2.59, which is absolutely freaking fantastic. Now, as if that isn't enough, we got even more shit associated to this time, and it's not even shit, it's good stuff. Not only are you going to be getting Mercury and the Murd, but you're also going to be getting, for absolutely frickin' free, Dark Reign, New Nation. That's right. You're getting Dark Reign, New Nation, for free.
For free.
For free.
For free.
For free. And I need
F-R-E-E?
F-R-E-E. That spells free. Creditreport.com, baby. wow, even another plug thrown in there. And so Dark Reign New Nation regularly goes for $3.99. It's discounted for $2.39. You're getting it for free, effing free, with Mercury and the Murd. And that's not all. My God, I feel like I'm one of the infomercial guys already. That's not all. With that, you'll see Snake Knives for absolutely no cost. instead of steak knives, you're getting a free sketch print from Katie Cook herself. And Katie Cook, she can draw. That's why her website is katiecandraw.com.
I knew you were going to go there.
At least I didn't say the raft thing. And she could also cook.
Yeah, well, you just said it.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, yeah, so you're getting three things for the price of one here. You're getting Mercury in the Murd, you're getting the Dark Reign, and you're getting yourself a free Katie Cook sketch, all for an excellent price of $259. And that's a pretty damn good order, am I right?
Am I right?
Am I right?
Am I right?
Indeed? Indeed? Am I
indeed.
Right?
Indeed. Indeed, am I right?
Stop repeating me.
Stop repeating me.
Fucker.
Fucker.
If this entire episode is going to go like this, I swear to God, I will jump through the internet and grab your nads and rip them off.
That's going to be a great fucking episode. If this whole episode goes just like this, I'm going to grab your nads through the internet and rip them fucking off.
Yeah, and since you're the guy who's editing it, I'm sure you're just going to edit it to say, I want to grab your nads.
I don't have to. You just said it.
Fuck! All right, but... So, and we got ourselves our picks, obviously, for the upcoming, this is October, so that would be December. So, Brent, you want to share that to the folks out there?
All right, so for Marvel, we got Secret Invasion, Dark Reign.
The colon is important.
It's about a colon. Yeah, no. I don't know what it's about. I don't know what it's about.
It's
Brian Michael Bendis and Alex Maleev. So, based on last year's event, The Confession, coming out after the actual event ended, that was a really cool comic. So, it's either going to close the last chapter of the Marvel Universe or open up the new one, or it's just going to be totally kick-ass like the Illuminati special a couple years ago.
I think it's going to do both. I think it's going to end and begin. Just from the name, because, you know, Dark Reign's the next event, so Secret Invasion and Dark Reign, you got both in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
it'd be like a bridge.
Indeedy. So, how much off are they getting for this?
It is 75% off, so you'll be
paying a dollar.
Yeehaw.
All right. And then from DC, Green Arrow Black Canary number 15, 50% off, so you'll be paying $1.50. That's the new writer coming on to Green Arrow Black Canary, so me and you are going to look at that and judge it against Judd Winnick's run, I guess.
And plus, we'll obviously give it a quick recap, considering that we did Green Arrow Black Canary number one and haven't talked about it since, so
yeah.
Why not? And I'll cover the last one, since I know that you're such a fan of manga that...
Woohoo.
Yeah, woohoo. Yeah, we're going a little different this time. We've done nothing but comics up till now, but now we're going to give yourself a nice little Japanese manga thrown in there. Akihabara at Deep, Volume 1, coming out this month. 50% off retail, regular price of $11.99. It's only $6 on Heroes Corner. This was a novel, and it was also a live-action television series in Japan that was about these guys who were protecting the city of Akihabara from basically baddies. That's the way it goes. And Akihabara is like the geek central of Japan. So they're a bunch of nerds that gather together to fight crime. And I think that is a concept we can all get behind. So Brent will read it, and he will enjoy it.
Nah.
Nah. Or he won't enjoy it at all, and he's going to just come back to me and say, it sucks! Manga sucks! Bite me, fanboy! Yes.
I don't have anything to say to that.
Yes. Why? Because I read your mind?
Maybe, or maybe I don't want to ruin the surprise that I want them to listen in 2 months.
but yeah, definitely 50% off on that one, so everything's all well and good. And the Comic Timing special discount code, yet again, will be CTROCKS. That's CTROCKS. I think we're just going to keep that as the promo code. So everybody use CTROCKS this month, and you'll get 5% off on your first order with Heroes Corner. So check out Mercury and the Murd. Check out the three that we just mentioned, and check out all the other discounts at Heroes Corner this month. HeroesCorner.com, best customer service around, HeroesCorner.com. They said you didn't need any new posters this time, Brent?
No, unfortunately.
Aww. Well, it's okay. You got your one, so I guess that's still one more than I got.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Not that I'm saying that they should send me anything or anything. I mean, I'm not really saying. Okay, so
you don't have any room in your room to hang anything up.
I'm
so it's pointless.
New apartment.
Not yet.
Almost.
Not yet.
Almost.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
Sam and Bob. Not yet.
Oh.
It's not a guaranteed thing.
Well, fine. If you want to do it for my proposed move-in date for November 1st, then, you know, hit me up, guys. Hit me up. All right? There we go. All right.
Yeah,
so,
proposed.
Yeah, proposed. Yeah. Okay.
Crossing our fingers.
Crossing my fingers and crossing
knock
yours.
Knock on wood.
Knock on wood. Yeah.
Also, hold on. Someone's at the door.
You know, the good thing is that if I do get at a place and it's a two-bedroom and you ever come to New York, you could probably stay and sleep where my comics are.
I don't want to sleep on your bed of comics
no.
You do now.
We'll probably have a futon or something like that.
Okay.
Don't worry about it. Right. You know, I bought the first long boxes I've ever bought in my life, I bought.
Finally,
yeah.
Just two.
For the most recent stuff that was lying around my room and for all the stuff I haven't read.
I guess you'd kind of look weird if you had, like, six long boxes on the train. Kind of difficult to get out the doors with them, you know?
Well, okay, I didn't put them together in the store.
I don't know how the store comes with them.
All right. Let's move on. All right, so the first comic we're going to be doing this month is Blue Beetle, and since Brent was the guy who suggested it, and because he's been wanting to talk about Blue Beetle for years, for generations, for decades.
More than 15 issues.
Oh, my God. So please, Brent, the floor is yours.
Do we want to give a little history about behind that?
Yes.
Or should we just let Sean and Jim hang free?
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Hang him. Hang him by a rope.
Hang him dry.
Hang him high. All right. So, Blue Beetle. I did the BK's Bullets for it. I got Jim to pick it up, and they really started liking the book. Unfortunately, that was like 3 years ago, the last time I did that. And they said, hey, this book is great. We should talk about Blue Beetle with Brent sometime. Yeah, that was about like 2 years ago. And then we finally figured out, oh, we should do it with issue number 16. It was a Freddie E. Williams issue, and it was around his birthday. Well, by the time we started talking about it again after it was initially proposed, it was been 2 months after the fact. And then I said, hey, well, we should do it by the end of the Reach arc ends up. And that was a couple months ago. So now I just said, fuck it, we'll do it on it by ourselves.
And we are, and it's issue 31, if that says anything.
Yeah, so it's about damn time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead. You can go into a little summary if you so desire.
Okay, I will so desire. So the reason I picked this, other than it being Blue Beetle, it's the third issue of the new writer, Matthew Sturges, who does he write Jack of Fables?
He co-writes Jack of Fables with
Co-writes.
Abraham. Yeah.
Okay. And he took over Salvation Run after Willingham left that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and he's also been doing The House of Mystery with Willingham.
Okay. So him and Willingham are like sleepover buddies, aren't they?
They're BFF for life.
Okay, Paris. All right. Yeah, you don't get that.
No, I don't.
All right. Well, someone out there will. Anyway, moving on. So basically what's been happening in Blue Beetle, I don't know. Should we get to the art?
Well, okay.
Who does the art? Okay, well, I'll edit it. So it's written by Matthew Sturges. Art, this issue is by Andre Colejo.
Who, and is it just me, or does he have a Williams style?
I was saying it's like a marriage of the regular artist, Raphael Albuquerque, who's on Superman and Batman for like two issues. I hope he comes back, because I love his shit. But yeah, I'm going to say it's like a marriage between Raphael Albuquerque and Freddie E. Williams. I thought the same thing too, you know?
Yeah.
This kind of looks like Freddie E. Williams.
Well,
but
I think he's using the same technique, the same like using the computer technique, because there's no inker listed.
Oh, really?
So I think he does the same sort of thing where he inks his own work and does it on the computer.
Cool. Well, it definitely comes off pretty clean and pretty sharp. And I guess we might get into this a little more later. I like the way you know that the art style is consistent. Like I think Blue Beetle, you know, Raphael Albuquerque took over from Cully Hamner, mm-hmm. and their art styles are kind of similar.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a nice transition. And then anybody else they've had fill in from, whether it be, you know, Andre Colejo, I think has done like an issue or two other than this one. Cynthia Martin, who else did we have?
Mr. Martin,
Andy Kuhn, Mike Norton. They've all had consistent art styles. So if you were to pick up the back issues on this book, if you were to go like back issue diving and just buy them all, mm-hmm. you'd have a consistent art style over the course of the book. Whereas if you do that with like Batman or Superman, you would not.
Well, I think that they've been getting a little better with that, DC, over the past couple of years. Like when they do need a fill-in, they're more likely to get an artist that has at least a similar style to the regular artist these days than they used to.
Well, even reading it from issue month to month or in a trade, you know, it's not that – it's not going to grab you out of the – you know, the flow of the story when you turn the page and it's a totally different art style.
Right. It's not like going from like Ed McGuinness to Jim Lee.
Right. Exactly. Which will never happen.
Yes. Maybe.
Pretty much. Maybe. One day. Who knows?
but yeah, no, I was definitely a fan of the art, and I was especially the fan of a fan of the expressions on everybody's faces in this. Like, whenever there was an emotional moment in the book, it came across in the art, and that's sort of important for a book like Blue Beetle.
Yeah, Blue Beetle's always been about the expressions, I thought, more than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You get a little bit of action each issue, but more than anything else, it's about Jamie. I call him Jamie because I can't say Jaime all the time, but so we're just going to call him Jamie.
That's fine.
Just for the record.
That's fine. Jamie D.
Yeah, because it's spelled like Jamie. There's no accent or anything like that.
Yeah, but, you know, because he's Spanish or to me.
You could be assuming. What if it's not?
Hispanic,
you
don't know. Jaime, yeah.
You don't know. You don't know.
I don't know. I never met them.
Whatever. We're gonna be gringos and Americanize it, so we're gonna call him Jamie.
Si.
Anyway. Damn it, where was I? Shit.
About the expressions.
No, I think the expressions. I think Blue Beetle's always been about expressions. So if you can get consistent art style with good expressions, I think you're in for Blue Beetle.
Yeah, definitely. And as long as you have a good colorist also. Because that's sort of what makes the art consistent, is if everybody's colored the same way. That's going to make as much of a difference as if you have a similar art style, because it's not like like all of a sudden Blue Beetle was a different shade of blue in this issue than he usually is.
Yeah, I think Guy Major has been doing the book for a long time, actually.
Yeah.
And he's on this issue as well, and he also does the Freddie E. Williams Robin stuff.
Oh, okay.
So that's probably why we also thought, hey, this looks like Freddie E. Williams, because it's the same colorist.
Right. That'll do it.
That'll do it. All right. Yeah. So let's get to the story. Basically, Matt Sturgis took over 2 issues ago, and we're on this like border patrol type storyline. It kind of went away from that this issue. But basically, these Blue Beetle was like running on the border, and there was a super-powered attack over at the border of Texas in El Paso, because El Paso is a border town. And it was like these superhuman guys, and last issue, Blue Beetle fought them. And basically, at the end of the fight, they went into like comas or something like that. Ended up getting hurt real bad, knocked unconscious, almost dying. Mm-hmm. So Blue Beetle freaked out, and they got taken to the hospital. It was basically how the last issue left off.
Yeah, and it was because of Blue Beetle's blast, by the way. Just don't forget that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Absolutely. So this issue picks up right after that. Blue Beetle is at the hospital and where his mom works, and also these superpowered border crossing guys are there as well. And he's just kind of checking up on them. And their temperature is like 110 degrees, which if that were true, they'd be dead.
Yes.
So Dr. Midnight is there. He's like, I'm Dr. Midnight. I'll take over from here.
Yes, because I'm sure he sounds like Batman.
Well, I mean, he's got the whole cape and cowl thing. Well, I'm sure he doesn't talk like, I'm Dr. Midnight. I'll take over from here.
Hello, my name is Dr. Midnight. I'll take over from here.
I don't think he's a gay man from Brooklyn, so, you know.
Oh, stop. But one of the things I need to mention, too, is I'm sure that this probably takes place before the current Justice Society arc because some major things happened to Dr. Midnight there.
Yeah, yeah.
Just wanted to make that clear.
Well, I mean, Blue Beetle is, like, kind of isolated from everything else, so I just kind of take it. It's just Blue Beetle and it guest stars people, and I don't doesn't matter.
Right. It's the same way I feel about Manhunter.
Yeah, I don't read Manhunter.
Oh, well, you should.
You should. I should, yeah. But I don't.
Okay, anyway.
I'm sure you're going to pick it next month now that I said that. Thanks a lot. All right, so Blue Beetle, like, and then right after he talks to Dr. Midnight, Blue Beetle is – did we mention a spoiler warning? Anyway, moving on.
Well, you know, wait. Yeah, hold on a minute. Okay.
We are so everywhere this episode.
And obviously there's a spoiler warning in effect for everything we talk about on this episode. So if you haven't read these books, why the hell are you listening?
Yeah, turn it off now. Dr. Midnight's like, don't bother. Don't worry. There's something with electromagnets. Some virus accelerates the metabolism. Electrical current raises the body temperature. If unchecked, it'll make him explode. and die.
So he helped things.
Right. Yeah. And then there's some old Jewish proverb, whatever. Blue Beetle leaves.
Wait. Hold on. We can't have an old Jewish proverb without old Jewish Ian, so. one sec here. Let's see. What page was that on?
It's the second page of Dr. Midnight. Third page. Dr. Midnight? Okay, all right. He appears, he talks, and Jewish proverb right in the center. Third word balloon down.
Okay. Oh, yeah, here we go. Okay, yeah. There's an old Jewish proverb that goes, I ask not for a lighter burden, but for broader shoulders. Thank you.
So the next day we're at Pecos Bill Park. Blue Beetle gets the key to the city and is also deputized, basically gets like hit by a truck with this thing, deputized as a deputy of El Paso County or whatever, and he's like the new Border Patrol superhero. And Blue Beetle's like, what? And then he turns around and all these immigrants are there.
You okay?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
I don't know either.
I don't talk this much.
Stop smoking cigarettes, man. Come on.
I'll stop. Yeah. I'll put it out. Right. I'll put it out right now. Yeah. Alright.
So this Bill Chacon guy, evil bastard.
Douche.
Major douche.
Douchebag.
Are you speaking not of him
douchebags,
yes.
What is up with that word? I think is it a cuss word or not?
What?
Because I was watching E! Today, and they're talking about some guy, Britney Spears' boyfriend, trying to sell a sex tape, and the guy was like, douche. And I was like, since when did they start saying that regularly on TV?
They've been saying douche for a while, man. I mean, old douche is cleaning out your vagina with some sort of like water.
I know, but I mean, it wasn't as precedent previously as it is now.
Yeah, well, they say shit on Comedy Central.
At nighttime, like after 12.
No, actually, they said it on Daily Show last night.
Really?
Uh-huh. I was surprised, too. Perhaps they are changing their minds on things.
That's weird.
Yeah. But back to the douchebaggery of Chacon.
Back to douching. So, yeah, he's a dick. He's running for – he's our district attorney, and he's probably running for something else. But I just thought it was kind of funny seeing as how – he's like descended from immigrants, and now he's like the Border Patrol guy. And then all the immigrants that are there are they're protesting already, apparently. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, what? You're the immigrant superhero Border Patrol guy? You jerk. You racist sellout.
And then he's like, well, they gave me the key to the city, so shut up, man.
He's like, I'm getting out of here. Goodbye.
The lines on the next page, one line in particular had me cracking up when I was reading it, when he's talking to Paco at lunch, and Paco's telling him about how this was all like a political move, and it's because he's running for governor and all this, and it's like, Paco, how do you know all this? I listen to NPR sometimes.
Sometimes. If you were reading this book and you read that line, you would like laugh too, because Paco is kind of like Guy Gardner in a way.
Yeah.
You know, he like there's no intellectual to him. He's all like muscle and beef and stuff. So when he says that, it's kind of like, what?
Yeah, it's like he's mumbling under his breath too. It's like, I listen to intelligent things sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes I like to talk about the economy.
Yeah.
If only you gave me a chance.
So his mom calls him from the hospital. Blue Beetle takes off. And then we go to this weird thing with Brenda and her cousin and LaDama. I just thought it was weird. It seemed kind of a little unnecessary, seeing as how I don't remember anything from like the previous issue from that sequence there.
Well, you don't remember who Mariposa is?
Is she Paco's sister?
No. Mariposa is the girl they picked up in Mexico.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The one who was trying to – she was trying to come over and they –
she came over with the superpowered guys.
Right. And they brought her over and she was staying with Paco's family and it turned out that she was actually working for this dude.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember at all.
Well, you should.
Now
you remember and now it's like it actually happened.
This is why I read those Marvel recap pages. Because of shit like this.
Dear DC, start doing recap pages for Brent's sake.
At least.
Previously on DC.
Anyway, so she talks to LaDama, which is Brenda's aunt, who is like this magical protector, gangster girl. Read previous issues of Blue Beetle for that.
That actually describes her surprisingly well.
Magical gangster girl.
I'm serious. Like, magical protector gangster girl. I mean, that. Well, she's a little bit of everything.
We haven't figured out if she's good or bad yet.
She's that nice little in-between.
Yeah. She's good to be bad, bad to be good kind of thing.
Hip to be square.
Yep. So then we're at the hospital. Then these other guys with Derlin weapons are there beating up people and trying to take the superpowered coma baddies away for some reason. Dr. Midnight and Blue Beetle come in, fight ensues. MRI machine is used in a clever way. Bad guys get away because, you know, the whole, oh, well, I have to save people thing, kind of cliche. And then Dr. Polaris shows up at the end, like, out of nowhere. And I was kind of like, what the hell?
Yeah, it's like, nothing to do with Dr. Polaris, nothing to do with Dr. Polaris. Oh, shit, it's Dr. Polaris.
Well, I mean, it was a whole magnetic virus or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, kind of.
Hinting. Yeah.
It was just like, here's some guy with a beard. He takes off his tie. He walks into a dark closet. He puts on a cape. Doesn't bother to take off his jacket, but puts on a cape. Oh, now he's got gloves on while he's still talking. Puts on a helmet, and then it's like, ta-da, Dr. Polaris. And he killed some guy.
I thought Polaris was working for Checkmate.
I don't know. Vertigo guy.
Oh, okay. All right. See, their costumes are so similar, I get them confused all the time.
It's purple versus green.
Shut up.
So, overall, what'd you think of this issue?
I loved it. I mean, this is the sort of fun that I'm getting out of Blue Beetle, that I've been getting out of Blue Beetle for ages now. And when Sturgis took over, there was, like, no, like, change in the book whatsoever. I mean, it was so consistent. And he's continuing that with this issue. And it's a good thing that Jamie has a kick-ass mother, you know, who can actually think on her feet and turn on the MRI machine like she did there. Because, you know, like Dr. Midnight's line about, like, well done, you should consider a job as a superhero nurse. And she's like, I get my fill of the heroics as it is, thanks.
Well, I like this book. I wouldn't say it was great. The part that I loved about Blue Beetle when I first started reading it, you know, when we had Giffen and John Rogers and then just John Rogers, was that every issue was kind of like a standalone issue and the adventures were cool, and sometimes there was like an overarching arc.
Yeah.
That's kind of redundant. But, you know, they had that whole Reach thing in the background. And once they wrap that up, it feels kind of like the book has lost its direction a little bit.
Okay.
So I'm kind of hoping that they'll find another, you know, big threat to, like, plant seeds in as issues go along rather than just, you know, these little story arcs. Because I think if they keep doing it like this, then I'm afraid this book's going to get lost in the shuffle and canceled.
I think they're getting there.
That would be a shame. I think because it's a great, great book.
Right. Well, I think they're definitely going to get there, though, because Matthew Sturgis with Jack of Fables – I mean, sure, that's with Bill Willingham, but Sturgis does most of the writing because Willingham has been ill – and had other books that he was doing, so he does most of the writing chores for that, while Willingham does more plotting. With this, and with previous books that Sturgis has done, he's done a good job of having, like, mini arcs that connect into a huge arc. Sort of the way, and, you know, I hate to bring it up for, like, the 400th time, but, like, the way that Buffy the Vampire Slayer does things. You know, like there might be individual stories, but they eventually connect into this huge, overarching, season-long story arc. And I think we're going to get there with Blue Beetle.
I hope we do.
I hope so, too. Yeah. Because, again, I mean, I'm still enjoying the book.
Yeah, but so am I. It's like you were saying, it is very consistent, and it was consistent from John Rogers over to Matthew Sturgis. I thought,
right.
You know, the couple of fill-ins in between there, the Will Pfeiffer ones were good. I could have cared less for the Spanish issue one, aside from the Mike Norton art. But, yeah, I mean, I'm glad we finally have, like, a regular writer and we're not just milling around until Matthew Sturgis comes around. Because in the summer there, it was kind of like, oh, great, another Blue Beetle issue that doesn't matter.
Well, there was the fun date issue, which did sort of matter because that was at least enhancing his relationship. And by the way, where the hell is she? You know, I want to see his girlfriend show up again.
She's in some other book, I thought.
Yeah?
Tracy 13. I don't remember what it was, but she, like, appeared in some other book. And I was like, hey, You're fucking Blue Beetle. Go back.
It wasn't Rain in Hell, was it?
No. I don't read that. Maybe it was Teen Titans or something.
Might have been.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, Blue Beetle's in Teen Titans.
Oh. No, it wasn't that.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, because I was about to say, I mean, as of a couple of months
ago. I could be wrong. Yeah. I could be wrong.
They're there. It's okay.
But definitely, if you liked this book, like if you picked this up with us just for the first time to try it out, mm-hmm. because we told you to, definitely go back and try the first trade. And I would say you could probably pick up the fourth trade, Endgame, which I think just came out, or is coming out this week.
I think it just came out, yeah.
October 1st, I think it comes out.
Right.
So I think you could read the first trade and pick up the fourth and not miss anything. I think you could pick up the fourth trade and have a great fucking time and then be like, this book is awesome.
I can safely say, and agree or disagree if you want, Brent, but I can safely say that according to me, if you were a fan of Giffen and DeMatteis' Justice League International, JLI, you would be a fan of Blue Beetle.
Well, especially that last trade.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but not even just for that, but the humor that's injected to it, while still having like definite plot lines and storylines and whatnot. Sorry, I had to. Hi, Jim. every time I say plot lines, story twists, and whatnot, that's just, sorry, it's just like it comes into the head. But no, I mean, whenever they do stuff like that, it definitely reminds me of the Giffen DeMatteis days.
Well, seeing as that was before my days, I'll have to let you keep that statement. I haven't read any of that stuff.
In May Day.
It's old.
They're there. But no, definitely pick up Blue Beetle. I am also agreeing with you, though, that I do need some sort of overarching arc, because that's, I think, what made Blue Beetle so fun. And that's what got me back into the book, because there were a few issues there where I was sort of iffy on it. But when the Reach stuff started coming back, I started getting more interested.
Yeah, once it got to, like, issue 11 or something like that, when it finally came out that it wasn't magical, it was alien. Mm-hmm. You started finding out more about the aliens and stuff. The Reach came down and were like, we're here to save the Earth.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, what? And then it got awesome.
The Sinestro Corps issue got me back into it for sure, though.
Yeah. Speaking of Peacemaker, where the hell is he?
He was
in last issue, I thought, right?
He was in the last issue, yeah.
He was in like the last issue or two. He's doing something else, I think. I don't remember what it was.
I believe so, yeah. I mean, he'll be back around. He's a regular cast member.
But, yeah.
Yeah, and the supporting cast of Blue Beetle is what makes it so great.
Yeah, Paco and Brenda are really well written all the time. I really enjoy their characters. But the Beetle Cave guys, I don't know their names because they're in like every third issue.
they don't really have names. I mean, I know that they do, but they're basically his like Alfred or
I just know they wear funky hats in El Paso, which is weird.
Yeah. Actually, the best description would probably be Oracle. Like, they're definitely his Oracle because they give him all the information he needs.
Right, but they don't have any like super duper technology shit like Oracle does. They just look stuff up on like Wikipedia.
Yeah, they've got their like their iBooks, and their whatever MacBook Pros or whatever the hell they are, and just look them up on that, and then like, yeah, hey, Wikipedia says that in 1978,
they kind of remind me of Kevin Smith and Live Free or Die Hard. In that sort of
yes.
I live in my parents' basement kind of way and have a bunch of computers.
Oh, best cameo in a movie, all right? I mean, there was no reason whatsoever for Kevin Smith to be in that movie, but that was just fucking brilliant.
But what was that line? It's like, it's not a basement, it's a lair or something.
Yeah. Ma, we got company!
Ma, I'm in my lair!
Bring down some cookies! All right, what do you give it out of 5?
Give it a 3.
Give it a 4.
Okay.
Cool. So I think we've wrapped that up pretty well.
Yeah. Let's get our focus back and not get too nuts.
I'm going back to Brooklyn. Brooklyn. I'm going back to Brooklyn. I don't think so. Sorry. Dude.
Speaking of.
Yeah. Am I the only one who knows that song? I guess so. Oh, well. It's a Beastie Boys song. Yeah? You suck.
So, yeah, Ian, back to Brooklyn. What'd you think?
So, yeah. And I probably got wrong about – probably even wrong about the person who did it because No Sleep Till Brooklyn was the Beasties. But, all right, back to Brooklyn. Garth Ennis and Jimmy Palmiotti. Now, they're a team that I haven't really seen on that many books together. I mean, they've done their own stuff, obviously. I mean, you know, it's usually Gray and Palmiotti I see, or Quesada and Palmiotti or something like that, or Palmiotti on its own or Garth Ennis on his own, but not really that much Garth Ennis and Palmiotti playing in the same playground together. So this was new for me for the team. Before I go into the summary, what'd you think?
Yeah, no, not going to get the other issues of this one either. Okay. Your independent picks have just been hitting on a low for me.
Huh. Okay. All right.
I mean, it was well illustrated, but right now the story is in the first issue is not enough to grab me and say, you know, hey, this is worthwhile. I need to go and let Bob and Sam know that I fucked up and didn't pre-order the next three issues of this miniseries.
Okay.
You know?
Mm-hmm. So it was just good enough? Is that it?
I had a nice time reading it. It's just it didn't grab me enough to say, oh, I need to go out and get the next issue.
Okay, but are you a fan of the crime genre in general?
Yeah, I mean, I love the Departed. This kind of reminded me of Running Scared. Okay. Have you ever seen that movie with Paul Walker? It's like the only good movie he's ever done.
No, I haven't, but now I'm interested in seeing it.
Well, you need to go and rent that movie, Netflix it. I know you have Netflix. You always ask me if I do, and I don't still. Right. But Netflix it, Running Scared, Paul Walker.
Running Scared. Email me the name because I'm totally going to forget it.
Okay. You know, I don't know who the director is, but he directed The Cooler as well with William H. Macy.
Okay. See, that I've heard of.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's like a name like Wayne Howard or something. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's a badass film. It's just like this, basically. This guy works for the mob. This is Running Scared, by the way. He works for the mob. Something goes down in the mob. He has to find a gun. He's running. There are kids involved. He's saving like his own son or his neighbor's son or whatever. Bunch of shit happens. There's a creepy scene with some pedophiles. And this other girl is in it, the girl that was into The Departed as well. Fuck, her name escapes me. The skinny
that's a very odd name
Departed.
For an actress.
The skinny psychiatrist in The Departed.
Okay.
Did you see The Departed?
It's on my Netflix.
Oh. Another great movie you have to see.
Yes, I know. It's on my Netflix.
Oh,
I'm
Vera Farmiga.
There
that's
you
it.
Go. Okay.
Okay. Right. She's in this movie as well. She's Paul Walker's wife. She's great in the pedophile scene. She's not a pedophile, but she's great in it. Oh,
I'm sorry, before you finish that, Brent, I never thought I'd hear the words out of your mouth. She was great in the pedophile scene.
No, it's just really powerful, like as an actress.
Okay, all
the
right.
Mom thing came across well.
Okay, continue.
And what's her name? Juliet from Lost is one of the pedophiles I noticed.
Okay.
When I was watching that again, like last year, just a nice little thing. Like, hey, it's that girl. That's where I know her from. Anyway,
right.
So yeah, this kind of reminded me of that, except that if that was like a first issue, I would have been more intrigued than this because this doesn't tell me anything that's going on. He's talking to the cops. He's like, I want to go back to Brooklyn. And then there's a sex scene, and there's a fat guy going, "Whatever it takes."
Okay. All right. Well. Let me give the summary of the issue real quick.
Yeah.
Just so everybody out there can know about it. Bob Saeta is a member of the Saeta family, one of the biggest crimes families in New York, specifically in the Brooklyn scene. And the book starts off with him in police custody, and he's willing to tell anything about the Saetas to the cops. The cops don't know why all of a sudden he wants to go and tell the cops everything about them, because up until now, they've had nothing on them. You know, like the Gottis, let's put it that way. You know, like, for years they didn't have anything on them until eventually one person talked, and then that's that. In The Godfather and a lot of movies, this is the way it happens. And they don't know why, what changed to make him think this. Well, he's in the in the police office, you know, and he's making his deal when he gets on the phone, and there's a bunch of dead cops. So I believe they were watching his mother If I'm reading this, his wife and kid.
Okay. I thought.
All right. Yeah. Well, he says, Michael, are you and mom? And then they say, we're with Uncle Paul, and then that's it.
Right. But you get to the scene where the Uncle Paulie is fucking the hooker.
Okay. All right. All right.
And he says, no, Ma, I'd never hurt little Michael.
All right.
That was my best Brooklyn accent.
No, Ma, I never hurt little Michael.
Yeah. And so little Michael is Michael Jr. from Michael Saeeda.
Okay.
That's the kid.
Right. Okay.
So they're watching his wife and kid.
Okay. Watching his wife and kid, the cops end up dead, and that means that they're obviously back in the control of the Saeeda family. He strikes a deal with the cops. Before that even, the FBI agent who's there takes the side of Saeeda, who wants to go after his family alone. And obviously the cops don't want anything from this. And this was probably one of my favorite scenes in the book, one of the favorite exchanges, because the FBI guy straight up tells the detective that you're not getting anywhere in life because the next commissioner is going to be an Asian dude and you're black. So I'm sorry, but you're stuck in this dead-end job. So I don't know if you're trying to achieve something with this arrest, but it ain't going to happen. Enjoy the rest of your life until retirement. And for some reason, that hit home with me. I'm not even sure why. It just sort of felt like something that does happen in the world. Because, you know, like it's sort of like the minority of the day, specifically in New York. Like they'll focus on promoting one particular person to make the rest of the government or the rest of the police or the rest of the firemen look good. Like they were doing this with women firemen once upon a time. They were doing this with, you know, Asian firemen. They were doing this with black firemen, everybody. And I'm not saying that they're not good at their job. I'm saying that they will promote one person over another just to keep themselves looking good in the eyes of the rest of the community. And they've reached the Asian quota at this point. I'm not sounding like a douche here by saying this, right?
No.
Okay, good. Just making sure, because I don't want to come off like I'm saying this, you know, like not being sensitive or anything. But that's the way the world works in many aspects, and they get it right here. So eventually they agree to Bob's demands. They let him out, and we get a scene afterwards with a bunch of the Saeeda family, or at least their henchmen, you know, in a room. They're just talking random like Sopranos talk is the best way to put it. You know, just like sitting around waiting for something to happen, and then Bob bursts in, you know, asking where Paulie is, where the family is, and he gets his answers. So, you know, we leave off with Bob finding Paulie, and after the whole hooker thing, and that's where the issue leaves off. You know, we don't know if the family itself is there, but at least he seems to have found Paulie. And that's the issue. I mean, it's a very light issue. Like, not that much does go on here. It seems like it read very fast to me. I mean, was this a straight 22 pages?
I thought so.
Okay, all right. Because it was very fast moving for me. And the way that I would describe it, because I don't know the movies that you know, I'd say it's like a cross between The Wire and The Sopranos. You know, like in the way that the gangsters talk, I'm thinking The Sopranos. In the way the police are acting, I'm thinking The Wire. And I can sort of see what Palmiotti's doing with here because, again, he's a native New Yorker. You know, he's lived this life. He wants to tell, like, his story. And this is why he's basing it in Brooklyn. That's why he's going after all this. But this is a little hard to get into. You know, it's not the easiest road to be walking down. I didn't pre-order the rest of this from Hero's Corner. I was thinking that if I did like it, I was going to pick it up in the store. And I'm not sure if I'm going to do that for the $3.99 price tag. I might just wait till trade.
No, it's $2.99.
Oh, it's $2.99? Okay, all right.
Yeah.
All right, well, if that's the case, then I'm going to pick it up. All right. But which is even more surprising because this is $2.99 without ads.
Yeah, that's what I couldn't figure out either. I remember last month we were talking about, you know, the Doctor Who book from IDW.
Right.
That was $3.99 with without ads, basically.
Right.
And this is $2.99. And it's no ads, straight through the book. There's like a two thing from Jimmy Palmiotti, like a letters page. And then there's like a huge six-page preview for Four Eyes, which I didn't bother to read. So don't ask me about that.
Neither did I, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, so I was kind of like, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, and the artwork was by Mihalo Vukelic. And I dug it. I dug it. He did everything from the looks of things. He did the lettering. I mean, not the lettering. He did the inking and the coloring. So this was totally him. And it's a nice painted style that's sort of like if Michael Wark was painted.
No. I'd say this is all pencil, and he just inks like the outlines. But okay. He's like definitely pencil shading every bit of the character.
Okay.
Like he instead of, you know, putting the lines for the fill in the blacks, he's actually taking his pencil and shading the entire image,
which probably
takes like a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah. Which...
Like if you're looking at the you can see like the pencil lines when you're looking at the like the second page.
Mm-hmm.
The second page, you're looking at the detective and the black guy. And then the one after that, the page you like, when the FBI guy's like, look, no bullshit. You look at his shirt and his hair and stuff, you can definitely see like the pencil shading. It's a nice look, but I thought the color tones were a bit boring.
A little too dull?
A little too dull, yeah. Yeah, I mean, everybody is like the black guy has, you know, he's the same color all the way around. You know, his face kind of blends into his jacket sometimes.
Oh, God.
The FBI guy is the same color. Frank is like the same, like pink, yellow. I don't even know what to call that color. Sepia color all the way around from his face to his white shirt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it seems like he's letting the pencil shading do the coloring for him. Okay. And it just comes off as kind of boring.
Yeah.
Even though the artwork is fantastic, I think.
Oh, but, yeah. No, I'm there too. I mean, I hope he has a future ahead of him. But you know what? Actually, the coloring specifically, it's Simone Bianchi.
I'd liken it more to Adi Granov on Extremis.
Yeah? Huh.
Maybe not the coloring per se, but like the artwork style.
No, the artwork style, I'll give you that. I'll definitely give you that. Yeah. As I'm looking at it more now, you might be right on that. Yeah, but the coloring style, because you know how Simone Bianchi, everything sort of looks like sort of gray tone?
Well, he does the gray tone ink washes on his stuff.
Okay.
That's why it looks that way.
Mm-hmm.
He's not doing regular inks.
Right, but then the coloring doesn't make anything brighter.
Right. Well, I mean, like, I'm looking at the cover, and I don't know what cover you got. Mine says cover A.
Mine is cover A as well.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know what cover B is, but there's different tones to his shirt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He has a white shirt on, and he's flesh-colored, and he's holding a blue gun, whereas when he's doing it in the book, him, his shirt, and the gun are all the same color.
All right, yeah. So you want, in other words, you want to see something that looks a little bit more like the cover art.
Yeah, I want a little more color definition, you know?
I'll give you that, yeah. I'll definitely give you that. Well, and this might be the first time that that he might be trying this style. I mean, I don't know. I don't know anything about this artist whatsoever. You know, I mean, this is the first time I've seen his work. So I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt and think that he was trying to get, like, a gritty Brooklyn feel out of it. And the Brooklyn scenes, like, when I see the Brooklyn backgrounds, that's familiar to me. Like, I mean, almost every spot there I can almost place as a specific part of Brooklyn, except for that motel, because there are no motels like that in Brooklyn. So they must have been out of the city.
That Brooklyn street, I was, like, looking in the background for, like, the Levinstein dog shop, dog grooming center.
That would be my best friend, too, in Rego Park, Queens.
next to the pianos and the Archie shop or whatever, I was looking for it. Didn't see it. Trying to turn on my X-ray vision and see some closet with some comic geek in it podcasting, but didn't happen.
Yeah,
you know, I just looked through the next page.
I guess he wasn't in Midwood.
Not into the image.
Yeah, he didn't make his way to Midwood. He's probably still in Sheepshead.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is all foreign to everybody else. But, no, I mean, again, overall, it was a decent start, but I do fully agree I need better coloring. I need something that looks a little brighter to me that makes me believe that these dudes are actually in motion, you know, because that was another problem with the art. Things were a little static. They were a little stiff.
Well, I mean, Adi Granov has like the same kind of problem too, I think. You know what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
it's so rendered, it's hard not to look stiff. Mm-hmm. The one panel I really did like, though, is when he goes in and shoots all those guys in the shop.
Yeah.
Where the one guy in the background is like way out of focus. That I thought was fucking great. And the shot of the panel above that where he's shooting the guys with the shotgun blast. It's all blurry. It looks like it's in motion. That helped. But it still looks kind of static, but I think those are the two best panels in the book on that one page.
And I forgot to mention, so I'll mention this quick here. The thing that intrigued me the most about this, though, is I want to know who the hell Maggie Mahoney is. you know, because that's who he saw. I guess it must be somebody from his past or something, but that's who overlooked him, you know, shooting everybody. And they share an oh fuck moment.
That's his old flame. It says on the ad for the next one. Next time.
Oh, great. See, I didn't read the ad for the next one, so. Oh, well. Well, now I know.
And knowing's half the battle.
G.I.
Joe.
Yeah. But, and actually, yeah, some of the, you could definitely tell, at least according to me, and I've been talking like that this episode. What the fuck is wrong with me? it's very apparent which scenes are done by Ennis and which ones are done by Palmiotti. At least in the dialogue, because I think that scene with the guys all around the table is probably done by Ennis. Cause just from the dialogue itself, with like the, you know, I could really use a sandwich. I bet you could, Mikey. Anybody else? I'm going to Mercutio's. I don't know. That just screamed Ennis to me.
Really?
Yeah. Especially with the gay jokes.
I don't know. I'm not reading like Punisher Max or anything, but. I was wondering if this was more like a storyteller versus script, like a plot versus script type thing.
It's possible.
Certainly, you know, like Stanslot and Christos Gage on the next book.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice transition. We're not yet. Sorry.
I know.
Yeah. It could be. I don't know. I mean, like, because in The Boys, there is some dialogue like this for Menace.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I guess I'll safely say I'll pick up issue two. I'll pick up issue 2. If issue 2 is also going to be $2.99, I'll pick it up in the shop. If I like if I like issue 2, then I'll continue on. If not, then I'm just going to either just get it in trade or not pick up the rest. You know, it's good enough for me to at least give it a second look. But not for you.
Nah.
Possible trade?
If you pick up the miniseries and you tell me that it's good and I see it in the shop in a trade, I might get it.
Okay. All right.
Because I've already read issue 1, and you know, like I'm interested enough. I want to finish the rest of the story, but to me, like this kind of screams like the next crime movie 3 years down the road. You know?
Okay. All right. So you think it's a made for movie comic?
Not like that, but I mean, I'm just kind of guessing here. It looks like something easily that they could grab and take into it. You know, and just the way it's set up, instead of. You know, actually giving me a background on the character, you're going to get it as you go along on the road trip back to Brooklyn.
Yeah,
searching for his family.
They'll,
you know,
they'll cancel Prison Break and they'll get back to Brooklyn on Fox.
Yeah, it just seems like really movie television-y to me. Other than you know, instead of like comic-y.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I got you. Yeah, definitely in the pacing, it feels that way to me.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm going to give it a 3.5.
Okay. I'm going to give it a 2.
Okay. All right. So I'm starting to learn that anything below 3 is not going to be picked up by you.
Yeah. What did I give Doctor Who? It was like a 2, wasn't it?
I think you gave it a 2, yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't give it a 1, which made me happy.
Well, I mean, it wasn't absolute trash. So anything absolute trash is going to be a 1. This was above that, but it's not going to be enough. It wasn't enough to get me to pick up the next issue. So, like, an average comic book would get me to do it. But, you know, this, nothing against it. I'm just not interested.
Next month, American Flag by Chuck Austin and Greg Land. No.
What?
It doesn't exist. Sorry.
Okay.
No, I'm just saying, like, we should get, like, the two, like, worst writers and artists we could possibly get on a book together. and have a character that you don't care anything about. Like, Young Blood by Chuck Austin and Greg Land or something like that.
I'm going to be on the lookout for Chuck Austin books now, so we can just rip it to death.
I don't think he does anything anymore.
No, I don't think he does.
Yeah, I think he's just out of the industry. Like, the last thing he did was that manga adaptation. I haven't heard anything from him since.
Yeah, what a shame.
Yeah, what a shame indeed. Not really. All right, let's move on. We got Avengers The Initiative, the last book, the third book. It's our Marvel pick, and yet again, because you picked it, Cassina.
Take it away. All right. So this is written by Dan Slott and Christos Gage. Art by Harvey Tolibao. Tolibao. Yeah, thank you. Bless you, too.
I believe it's Tolibao.
Tolibao? Okay. It's pretty good. Have you been picking up this series since it began?
Since issue one, yeah.
Have you been enjoying it?
Since issue one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking there. Yeah.
Well, and let me point this out too. Tolbao is not the regular artist, I believe.
No, the regular artist is the guy who's on Mighty Avengers this month.
Right, and I like Tolbao a hell of a lot better.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Stefano Caselli is the regular artist. I like him too. I like Stefano Caselli.
Caselli's good, but everybody he draws has the same face.
Yeah, I can kind of see that.
You know, and I mean, like, for a book like Avengers: The Initiative, which has characters that aren't really like the most top popular characters.
Yeah,
I need them to have distinctive looks. You know, and I think Tolbao does that a lot better than he does.
Tolbao.
Yeah, I'm gonna get his name wrong the entire time. Tolbao.
Just call him Harv. Harvey.
Harvey. Yeah, Harvey. There you go. But Tolbao actually his style. And this could be in the inking or the rest of it, but it's sort of like a McNiven light.
Well, actually, the What If Civil War issue, most of that was done by Tolbao.
There you go.
Actually,
there you go.
And when I opened that up and looked at it, I was like, "Dude, this guy looks kind of like McNiven."
Right.
Like it looks like a McNiven mixed with Tom Rainey.
Okay. Yeah. In the faces, it's definitely Rainey.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the coloring or what, like you said, but it's definitely got that feel.
Yeah.
And he tends to stick to, like, the whole all widescreen panels,
mm-hmm.
like McNiven did for Civil War, at least.
Right, right.
Yeah. He also kind of reminds me of the guy who was – Stefan Segovia, who was on the Eclipso backup and Countdown to Mystery.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Reminds me a little bit of that.
A little bit of Igor Corday also.
Igor Corday, wasn't he like the shitty guy?
Not the shitty – well, no. Not his shitty art from New X-Men, which he was rushed on, which was totally the fault of Marvel. More like his Soldier X stuff.
Okay. Well, I only saw their shitty New X-Men stuff, so right. Igor Corday does not register as an artist to seek out in my head.
That's fine. Okay. Continue.
Okay. So I've been really enjoying this series. Once issue 13 came along, though, I was kind of afraid that we might lose the series as what it was. Because mm-hmm. I thought the first 12 issues were just slam, bam, bang up, knockout, great comic book fun.
Mm-hmm.
You got new characters that you didn't know about. You learned to love them. And then it seemed like kind of like the order thing, if it had gone on longer, you know, would have just switched out with new people every year, basically.
Right.
They're in training for a year, and then they ship them out somewhere. But with this secret invasion stuff that came along quickly after that, the focus has been reshifted, so we're kind of going back to the old characters who I love. Well, and, you know, Ant-Man is still in here, and Yellow Jacket is still here from, like, previous issues. But the characters they introduced in, like, 13 or whatever, I was not interested in at all.
Well, what about the fat kid? What about that fat kid they introduced a couple of issues ago?
Yeah, but they sent him home.
I know, but wasn't that, like, the best issue, like, the best single
issue? It was a good single issue, but the other characters that introduced in there, I did not feel myself gravitating towards them for a whole nother year. Okay. Let me put it that way.
Makes sense.
You know what I mean? Because we already – Hardball, I like him.
Right.
I like Komodo. Trauma is cool. Can't remember the other guy. MIA. Mm-hmm. No, that's a bad guy. But you know,
right.
even the Scarlet Spiders. I want them back.
Oh, the Scarlet Spiders are
a really
great.
Cool part of that book.
Yeah, especially their names. Okay, now you want to talk about freaky and frightening? It's bad enough that they're clones of MVP, but having their names be Michael Van and Patrick,
which is MVP's whole real name.
Yes. Which was totally intentional, you could tell, you know, from Dan Slott naming a Michael Van Patrick. Like, hey, Michael's a first name, Van's a first name, sort of, Patrick's a first name, let's go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It was awesome.
But, yeah, I think the Secret Invasion stuff has really helped me enjoy this book a lot more recently. Because I loved it, and then it got to the new recruits, and I was like, ah, oh, damn it.
Well,
all the characters I liked are gone, and then this stuff came back, and it's kind of like, yes.
I had a couple of issues where I was sort of where you were, but once they introduced the Skrull Kill Crew.
Yes, yes. Oh. Or not even that. The last issue that Harvey Tolbao did with, what's his name, Crusader?
Mm-hmm.
The Skrull in disguise, who doesn't know a thing about the invasion.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really good issue. I think it was like 2 issues ago.
I agree. Exactly. Yeah. But I made sure to finish reading the original Skrull Kill Crew before I started reading that issue from Avengers The Initiative. So everything was fresh in my head. And because of that, it was like I was continuing the series.
Okay.
You know, and that's why it works so well. Have you ever read the original?
No.
Read it.
It's good?
Dude, it's Morrison and Miller.
Okay. Well, is Dan Slott and Christos Gage doing a good job of continuing the characters?
I would say so, yeah. There are some changes, though, because in the original, as they explain in that issue, and I know we're talking about a totally separate issue here, but it sort of weeds into the end of the issue here, so let me just mention it quickly. They mentioned that some of the characters from Skrull Kill Crew died already. So there's only actually two members of the original Skrull Kill Crew in the Avengers The Initiative here. But that's
3D Man is now part of the Kill Crew, basically.
Right, I know, but I'm talking about the originals, though. Just that the rest of them died, but that's okay because according to the condition, they're all going to die eventually, other than 3D Man, because that's the way that the Skrull meat that they ingested works. It's sort of like a neurotoxin that's slowly going to eat your brain.
Okay. The Riot guy, is he an alien or is he mutated as well?
Riot none of these guys are straight. None of the members of the original Skrull Kill Crew are aliens. They're all regular people who ate Skrull hamburgers.
Right. So Riot is a human that's transfigured to look like a brood guy.
Right. Yeah. He's stuck in that. Well, actually, wait. Is that a he or a she? I'm trying to remember. Actually, I think Riot. Yeah, Riot's a she.
Huh.
Yeah. She used to be a punk girl, if I'm remembering this correctly. In fact, let me look it up right now, because I remember that that punk girl used to take a form like that, so she probably just got stuck in that form. But one second, let me look it up. Yes, actually, from the looks of things, Riot. Yeah. Okay. Wait. Let me remind myself here. Moonstomp dead. Dice dead. Catwalk dead. Yeah. Riot's female.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
It even says in the entry, "Punk rocker turns into an armor insectoid form. In this form, she has great strength and sharp spines. Now stuck in that form."
Got it.
Mm-hmm. So now you
excellent.
Know.
Excellent. Now you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now let's actually talk about the issue.
Yeah. So basically, we're like in the midst of the secret invasion, which not so secret anymore, because the Skrulls have landed at Camp Hammond. Dun, dun, dun. And Ant-Man is down there, and he's like, "Oh my God, I'm in a camp full of Skrulls, and I'm 6 inches tall, and I don't know what to do because I'm a fucking coward." I really love the way Dan Slott and Christos Gage are doing Ant-Man because it seems just like he was in his own series.
Yeah, you came this close to making him sound like the pedophile from Family Guy.
Well, no, I mean, you know, if 6 inches, like, you know, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Yeah. If you're 6 inches tall, your voice is not going to be as deep as it was.
Nice aliens, don't look down. Don't look down. Don't look down.
I'm just imagining him being like, you know, on my shoulder, like having a really squeaky voice because he's so small and his voice box is so small.
Did you happen to see American Dad this past Sunday?
No.
Okay. Because in that one, they try to stop Steve from hitting puberty by giving him this drug, and he ends up being like 5 years old. So that's sort of what I assume Ant-Man sounds like, 5-year-old Steve from American Dad.
Uh-huh. Got it.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. So he's at, like, in the middle of the Skrull invasion. Everybody, all the Skrulls are out now, like walking around in the regular Skrull uniforms. And then we see Bangle Tiger, which I don't remember him being in the book, but hey, he's here now. And he's like suiting up. And then we go down to the basement and we see the Shadow Initiative, who were really awesome in the World War Hulk tie-ins. We haven't really seen them since then.
Mm-hmm.
He's part of the Shadow Initiative, Bangle.
Yeah.
See, I totally forgot.
Mm-hmm.
I guess because his costume's drawn like totally differently here than it was in the Shadow Initiative. Like if you look at the recap page, you have the Stefano Caselli version, and then you turn two pages and it's kind of like, oh.
That's because this version of the costume looks a lot more like the costume
a tiger
to look. Yeah,
it looks like a tiger.
Yeah.
Arr, rawr, arr. Anyway, okay. So let me see.
Nice touch on the art. That in the daycare center, there's an Iron Man mini mug.
Like, I was thinking it was a balloon.
Yeah. Oh, okay, because it looks like one of the mugs. Or what the hell they're supposed to be called.
I saw the party, and there's like a balloon up top, so I figured it was another balloon.
Okay.
Underneath Hammond.
Right.
There, like a balloon-shaped thingy in the air with the streamer.
I see that, yeah.
Okay, so, yeah.
Because there's an Iron Man sitting on the desk next to the Avengers, Captain America, Spider-Man square.
Yeah.
So that's what I thought. Okay, but anyway, who freaking cares? We're worrying about background art. Continue.
But very, very detailed background art, which makes it a lot more fun to read.
Mm-hmm.
So then we're in the basement with the Shadow Initiative Constrictor, who I think is a lot cooler now that his whole arm can do the constrictor shit.
Yeah.
Did he lose his arms in World War Hulk tie-ins?
He lost his arms in the World War Hulk tie-ins.
Right, and then they sued him up with these things.
What was the member of Teen Titans that got both of his arms ripped off by Superboy Prime?
Risk.
Yeah, so he got risked.
He got risked.
Your ass got risked.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, but he's better now.
And then we see Mutant Zero, or Starfire, who is like meditating and suits up.
Oh, dude.
I'm sorry. She's got the same skin tone and red hair and like her boobs and ass are on display.
Okay, fine.
Gotta be Starfire. Didn't
that's,
you read
who
Titan
I that's who I was thinking too. But come on.
All right. Which Marvel character do you think she is?
Jean Grey. No.
actually, that's who I think it is.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Red hair, right? And then later on in the issue, they say, you have a dark side you don't like to discuss called. And then she knocks out the girl.
Maybe. Hmm. Or perhaps Madeline Pryor?
See, I was thinking mutant. So, and then I was like...
Yeah.
And then they said the dark thing and the red hair, and I was kind of like, Jean?
It'd be really freaking messed up if this is how they bring Jean back.
Yeah. I'm just afraid that it's not going to be anybody who I know.
Well, I know for certain it's not Cecilia Reyes because she's Puerto Rican and has black hair, so at least I can safely say they didn't fuck up Cecilia Reyes, but... It was still out there somewhere, by the way. So Marvel, bring her back. Bring her back, fuckers. Bring her back. But I'm going Starfire. No, never mind. No, damn it. Not Starfire.
Apparently, Mutant X is supposed to be like some really big Marvel character or something, apparently.
Yeah, I know.
It's what they were saying months ago.
It does,
and I'm kind of like, yeah,
I mean,
right?
The hair does look like it could be, you know.
But, I mean, the skin tone, she could also be like Tigra.
Which
doubtful. She's not a mutant, so I figured that doesn't count.
And we've seen Tigra, so I'm thinking
in this series,
Sunfire.
Yeah.
No, wait, not Sunfire. Sunfire. Who am I thinking of? Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
Iceman.
Yes, thank you.
Starfire.
Wait, that is Starfire.
That's DC.
Yeah.
See, doing it again.
Yeah, thank you.
Firestar.
Thank you. I'm thinking it's Firestar.
Is she a mutant, though?
Yeah.
She is.
Yeah, sure she is.
Oh, the other thing that clued me in as to maybe it's Jean, she used some telekinesis thing on her gun to make it fly back to her during the battle.
Oh, god damn it, if it's fucking Jean, man, because I don't want Jean back.
It's like orange telekinesis, like when on the page where she blows out the Skrull's head, Spider-Woman. Like the panel before that, she's reaching for a gun, it like uses the force, and it's like, shunk.
I don't want any reason whatsoever for some random writer to come down the line and say, oh, hey, Jean's back. Well, I guess I can get her back to with Scott now. Hey, Emma, see you later. Bye.
Well, if it is Jean, she's awfully bitchy. She's probably pissed she's been brought back to life again.
And
she thought she died with Logan in the sun thing.
Buffy reference number 743. Season 6 Buffy, spoilers for anybody who hasn't watched it, but yeah, it's like when they brought Buffy back from the dead. She was really fucking pissed because she's up there in heaven, and the rest of the guys are thinking, hey, we got you back from that hell dimension. Aren't you happy? Yeah, great. Fuck you. So yeah, for all we know, maybe Jean was hanging out in heaven with her, you know, entire family that was killed during that Claremont issue.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway,
so moving on.
So definitely, it's either Firestar or Jean Grey. We can't think of anybody else.
Yeah, I can't think of anyone else. All I'm not a Marvel guy. You are.
Oh yeah. Well, I can't think of any other redheaded mutants except for Siren, and Siren's pregnant in X Factor, so.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So we turn the page and we get Mondo titted Spider Woman. Like, goddamn.
Okay, those tits have points.
I know. It looks like the Dave Finch super tits that he was drawing when he was on that book.
Yeah.
Well, it was like triple D.
You want to bet that he drew a naked Spider Woman first and then colored on the outfit?
Actually, if you look down, that's probably true.
Woohoo! Yes, somebody's got a camel toe.
Yeah. Nice, Harvey Tolbow. Thank you very much for that. Now I really feel perverted reading this book.
Yeah.
Thanks.
She's Spider-Woman.
Unless Dan Slott was like, Spider-Woman with really big tits and camel toe. Yeah.
Yeah. You know that somebody's totally going to re-letter this page to have Yellow Jacket say something like, oh my God, my leader is hot.
Can't even look.
When he's holding up his fist there, it's like,
yes, camel toe.
Three cheers for camel toe.
That's got to be everybody's thought when they see Spider-Woman.
Remember, adults, don't watch this show with your kiddies, or don't watch it either because we're technically a radio show.
Earmuffs, 13-year-olds, earmuffs.
Oh, please. 13? 13?
I don't know. You never know.
11, 10.
Okay. 9. Well, I mean, your mom could be like really, religious, whatever. So yeah, and then so Ant-Man is like on the ground looking at these ginormous tits when he gets grabbed by the Shadow Initiative, and they're like, who are you? He's like, I'm Ant-Man. And then he's like, who are you? And they're like, we're the Shadow Initiative. And it's like, well, if you're not you and I'm not me, then who am I?
You're you.
Well, did you see that Mad TV, the sixth day thing? Frank,
yes.
Whatever
I actually have. I haven't seen much Mad TV, but I've seen that.
That's like the only thing I really like from Mad TV. Yeah. Anyway, going to the Skrull Kill Crew.
Wait, hold on.
Interject here. Go ahead.
Before we go to the Skrull Kill Crew, I need to interject one more time. I'm reminded of that Photoshop picture of where is the Atom? When they had the Atom's hand sticking out of Power Girl's breasts. that's all I can think of right now with Spider-Woman and Ant-Man.
Well, there's more of that coming up, folks. Stay tuned. Don't press pause yet. All right. So it's Skrull Kill. I can't say that for the life.
Skrull Kill Crew. There you go.
Riot is like chopping off some Skrull's head.
And gravity reference. Gravity.
You can barely tell it's him, but he's there.
You can tell it's him because he calls him Gravity.
Yeah, that's basically it. and dude, Hardball's new costume, or at least his mask, is a lot better than what it was.
Agreed.
Because it's actually kind of cool now.
Yeah. And he's got an H that's designed like a different colored Hawkeye.
Yeah. Well, and it's not on his forehead. Yeah. Yeah, it's like stripes on his forehead.
You want to bet that he just stole the costume off the corpse of Alpha Flight, a Guardian. Yeah. You want to bet he just stole the costume off of Guardian's corpse and just recolored
it? Then he would just be the guy that killed Alpha Flight, and they're like, "Let's make you the new Guardian. You killed everybody." Yeah.
Yeah. How bloody stupid was that?
We're not stepping on their graves at all.
No. That's like turning sour. Good. All right. Anyway.
If I knew you were coming, I'd make you some more. Yeah, so anyway, I'd love Hardball's look here because I know who to trust. And then, bum, 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 he's like in bed with Hydra.
Yes. Magic, wow, wow.
Yeah, really. Here's what really confused me. The next page, the Chandler's bomb shelter.
Mm-hmm.
A, who the fuck are these guys?
We've never seen the series before. Hal Chandler, the original 3D man.
Oh, yeah.
Woo-hoo.
Last issue, he got the new goggle.
Two in a row, baby. Two in a row. You're
good tonight. You're on a roll.
Zing.
Well, I don't know who the original 3D man is.
They said so last issue.
I know, but that was a month ago.
All right.
And I gave those comics to my brother to read, and he hasn't given them back yet, so it's not like I could go and pull out the last issue. I would have done that with Blue Beetle in this issue, but I can't because Eric's not done.
I accept it. You at least know who Jocasta is, right?
Yes, good. Barely.
Good. Okay.
Well, former an Avengers computer program.
Yes, and was also Iron Man's computer program.
Sex machine.
Not sex machine computer program. He was.
I don't know. Those tits scream sex machine.
Hi-yo. No, when she didn't have a body for a while, she was actually his like computer guidance system.
Yeah, she was in the like the man with the iron mask storyline that I read. Yeah. So, anyway, back to the Shadow Initiative. They're like, wait a minute, Skrulls can shrink and change shape. I'm a Skrull. You're a Skrull. If I'm not you and you're not me, who am I? Oh, yeah, by the way, embrace change. Moving on.
The Ice Age.
The Iceman cometh. Go wide.
I was watching Blogget Newsarama finally posted the 10 minutes of the worst scenes of Batman and Robin.
It's all Arnold scenes, isn't it?
It's all Arnold scenes and crotch shots.
So, yeah. So, trauma is basically like, well, we can figure out who's not a Skrull, but I can manifest your worst fear. So, one of them is, you know, Tiger Dude's family dying. Mm-hmm. And Mutant Zero's own worst fear is herself. Her dark side. The part called, no! Crack! Dark Phoenix! Duh!
Spider-Man She's wearing- and his amazing friends.
What if it's Mary Jane?
Oh! The part called Mary Jane Parker.
Your dark side called Joe Quesada.
Oh, and you know what? Wait a minute. I just realized something. Okay, Mutant X punching herself. Hello, Iron Man punching Cap in Civil War. That's a swipe, dude.
No.
Yes! That's almost the exact same positioning of the punch and everything.
Come on.
Seriously. You're stretching. All right. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't look pretty or anything, but that's definitely what it reminds me of. It reminds me of the Iron Man bitch slap.
Well, it's not Greg Land here. It's Harvey Tolbaugh.
Land.
Wow. So then we go to Nick Fury and his Secret Warriors with the fucked up Vision, the kids from the Young Avengers, and Crusader, who's the Skrull in disguise. And Nick Fury is all like, hey, motherfucker, get those motherfucking snakes off my motherfucking plane.
Wrong Nick Fury.
And I can motherfucking trust you. Oh, wait. Oh, wrong Nick Fury. So it's more like, hey, you out there in the ocean, stop swimming. Nicole Eggert, Pamela Anderson, come on. Threw some in the water.
Not David Hasselhoff either.
Germany loves me. I helped take down the Berlin Wall with my song.
America's Got Talent.
Knight Rider.
I like how they reuse the art from Secret Invasion.
Well, yeah, I like how they're doing that more often.
Yeah,
it's cool. Mm-hmm.
But no. This is the Nick Fury that has the personality of the Sam Jackson Nick Fury from Iron Man. But the looks of the original.
Yeah, I don't know.
Thank you.
Anyway, Nick Fury's there.
Yeah.
Still don't know why or how, but he's there.
He's there because he's awesome and he's Nick Fury and he never ages. Continue.
Huzzah. All right, so the Skrulls are planning something. Iron Man enlarges a bomb, goes kaboom. The Shadow Initiative attacks. Mutant X shoots Spider-Woman. Brain explodes. Huzzah, it was a fake Skrull. The real Spider-Woman's in a hood.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, come on. I mean, what did you honestly expect that they would let their queen be on the battleground like that?
No, but, okay, here's what's confusing to me. That panel up above it, she has a green face, but she's still in the Spider-Woman garb. So, and then she's actually changing as she's pulling off the hood. Whereas, meanwhile, in New Avengers and Mighty Avengers, they've said, if they change at all, they'll be able to be detected.
Yes.
So they need to change form, or they need to stay the same fucking form the whole fucking time. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
Everybody's been revealed at this point. There are no sleeper agents anymore. And everybody at this point already knows that Spider-Woman's a Skrull.
All right.
So there's really no reason for her to continue that.
So why does she still maintain to have this Spider-Woman?
Because it's much more intimidating, and she's able to access Spider-Woman's powers when she's using Spider-Woman's body, I think.
Maybe she's flat-chested and Spider-Woman's not.
That could possibly be.
Yeah.
Bordacious.
So anyway, she makes him turn on the trauma because she's like, well, how do you know Yellow Jacket's not the only Skrull placed, and they're all afraid someone else is a Skrull, and then trauma, his powers kick in, turns into a Skrull, and they're like, you're a Skrull, you bastard! Which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
Really smart use of trauma's powers. Which is actually good, because Dan Slott created the character.
Yes, indeed. And then Dumb Dumb Thing knocks everybody out.
Yeah, I wish he was dead. Anyway. Then we get the huge Ta-Ta page.
Ooh.
Holy cow, and Ant-Man's like, don't look up, don't look up, don't look up, don't look up.
You know, those things actually look like they're about to burst.
I don't know where they get these angles, man. Anyway, so then Jocasta's like, yeah, Skrull Kill Crew, I'm sending you some people. And then she shows up with the Devil Slayer from a couple issues ago from some other state. I don't remember which one.
Hawaii.
And he just looks cool. Devil Slayer. I thought he was cool. That was the Taskmaster issue, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
He was, like, training people,
mm-hmm.
And he fought that guy.
Yep.
That was a good issue.
Yeah, and that was actually, Devil Slayer reappeared.
He's demons.
Devil Slayer was actually in Hawaii when 3D Man got to their location and found the first Skrull.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I'm happy to see Jocasta having any sort of appearance in anything, because we haven't seen her in ages.
Well, apparently she's going to be on Mighty Avengers when Dan Slott takes over.
Nice!
This is what I was reading the other day on Newsarama.
Excelente. And what do you think of Gage taking over for good from for the initiative?
Well, I mean, I haven't noticed anything different reading where the two of them are writing, so it could turn out to be pretty good, you know?
Did you read his T-Bolts?
No.
You need to read his T-Bolts.
I read the first trade of the Ellis T-Bolts, mm-hmm. But I haven't gotten to anything else
yet. That delicious?
It's pretty good, actually.
Yeah. His Norman Osborn is the craziest Norman Osborn.
Yeah, he's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, but this issue was excellent. I think that Avengers Initiative has been one of the best crossovers for Secret Invasion, so they're continuing.
I think it's been one of the best books to come out of the initiative of Civil War.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, definitely better than Mighty Avengers all the time. The only thing that I would say is a knock against it is that there are never really like any good cliffhangers at the end of an issue to get you to read the next one.
Mm-hmm.
But each issue is consistently good, though.
Well, there was a pretty damn good cliffhanger at the end of this one.
Well, I mean, it's just Jocasta and Shadow Dude coming up and like, haha, we're here.
Yeah, but they're all like, come with me, we'll bitch some hoes.
Yeah, but compared to some other ones, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
All right, but I think what Dan Slott proves is that
they're all like mid level cliffhangers.
Okay.
And but I guess that's a good thing because it's not him building from cliffhanger to cliffhanger to cliffhanger. Yeah. He's just telling a story, and he finds places to end the issue. That's kind of like okay.
That's how Slott works. I mean, if you read She-Hulk, you know there really aren't that many. Cliffhangers at all during his run of She-Hulk, and yet still every issue is great.
Yeah.
And same thing with his Spider-Man stuff.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, so I mean, especially with New Ways to Die, which I'm still enjoying, by the way, just to give you an update on that from last episode, it just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, I've read the issues of that. That's it. You know, Ashley, you know how we were talking about Spider-Man when we did the One More Day recap, mm-hmm. and then we did it with last month? Spider-Man consistently is my top of the stack book.
Good.
With New Ways to Die and everything else, I just pull it to the top. And I push Trinity down to the bottom.
Okay, all right. What?
Trinity is not bad. It's just that I want to read Titans or Teen Titans, and I want to read Avengers and stuff. Mm-hmm. I want to read everything else before.
Totally give you that.
Just the end. I'll probably read it before the Wolverine Suodade and the Wolverine Annual with Mike Deodato, you know?
I constantly find myself reading Trinity on my way to work the day I'm picking up my new comics.
Yeah.
Which obviously means that it's one of the last ones, because that's the one that I'm reading on my way to get my new comics.
So, it's not bad. It's just not great either.
Yeah. No, it's
but it's better than Countdown.
Thank you. Thank you, Jinx. You owe me a Coke.
I'll go pop one open and mail it to you.
How's good, that? Good. Don't pop it open until...
I'll drink in your honor.
All right, that's fine. That's fine. So, yeah, what do we give the initiative?
4.
I give it a 4.5.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
good.
So I think overall we had a very interesting month. We had both of us enjoying Avengers The Initiative, both of us enjoying Blue Beetle, hoping for an overarching arc, which hopefully we will get, and split decision on Back to Brooklyn, but yet again you saying that if I like the next issue, then I should let you know, and maybe you'll continue to pick it up.
Yeah, yeah. So do you want to touch back on Booster Gold number 12? I mean, that came out like fairly quickly after we released the episode, and then kind of wrapped up that two-parter, but kind of didn't, which disappointed me.
Yeah, considering that Dixon only wrote a two-parter, and now he's off the book.
Yeah, and Dan Jurgens is like taking it over with 15. Right. I thought that was kind of weird.
Well, I unless that's going to be, you know, revisited, which could be.
I think it is, because 12 ended with Elongated Man, and on the Heroes Corner site, I'm looking at the Booster Gold cover, and Elongated Man is like wrestling Booster Gold.
Well, good.
So I guess we're going back to that Time Trapper story. Yeah. Or Time Trapper, the time story.
Right.
Before we fight Starro, after we fight Starro.
I liked the issue. It was cool seeing both of them in the, you know, the Batman and Batgirl outfits.
Yeah.
You know, facing themselves.
I thought the Batgirl bits were smart. Yeah. That was cool.
Definitely. Yeah. And what was most interesting about it is that it was the biggest, like, time conundrum you could possibly have. You know, you go back in time, it goes wrong. Then you go back in time to face yourself back in time.
Yeah, it was like... Back to the Future 2.
Yeah.
When he's, like, avoiding himself.
We have to go back, Marty.
Back where? Back to the past.
Great Scott. Summers.
Jesus. So, yeah.
No, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it, and I will thank you. I will continue to pick that series up with the new stuff, and hopefully Jurgens will continue to write good stuff once he's on.
Yes, hopefully.
Yeah, because, I mean, he did write the character Once Upon a Time, so, hey, you never know.
Yeah, but I haven't read anything that Jurgens has written that's been so great that I had to keep getting it. That's what I'm afraid of.
Didn't he write Battle of Bloodhaven?
Yeah, then it was not so great. I had to keep picking. He did the art on that. That was Graham Palmiotti.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. Well, Uncle Sam was good, but that was Graham Palmiotti also. Never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was good. Just saying.
I think the last thing Jurgens has written is like some Superman stuff. Or no, he's writing the Superman tangent stuff.
Yes.
Are you reading that?
Yes, I am.
Is that any good? I'm not reading it.
It's pretty fun. It's pretty fun. The only problem that I have with it is that it's a 12-issue maxi, and they've changed artists 3 times.
Yeah, I saw that. Jamal Igoe was on for like a little bit, and then now he's on Supergirl as of next month.
Right. So obviously he got the Supergirl assignment. They took him off of that, but... You know, I mean, to change artists 3 times in a maxi is sort of a bit much.
Who did it start out with?
For the life of me, I can't remember. All I know is that it wasn't Igoe. They had announced Igoe as the artist originally, and I think the first 2 issues or the first 1 issue had someone different, and then Igoe did 2, 3, and 4, and now it's going to be somebody different for 5 through 12, I think.
Weird.
Yeah, tell me about it. And the next issue of Doctor Who hasn't come out yet, so I can't say anything about that. But when it does come out, I'll be reading it, but Brent won't.
No way. Mm-hmm. Jose.
Yeah. All right. I think that's all, right?
You should plug the books for next month.
Oh, but of course.
So they have the keep a lookout for them.
Well, the books...
This month, in their boxes or in their shops, whatever they do.
Yes, indeed. Well, the books for next month are as follows... As the page loads, load.
Oh, I got mine up already. I beat you. I'm prepared, bitch.
Yeah, well.
Right, so, anyway.
Anywho.
Books from the August previews coming out in October. Captain Britain and MI-13, number 6. I've never read this book, so I'm probably going to hate it.
Hey.
Supergirl, number 34. From DC. And Hellboy, the Chapel of Moloch. Malak. I'm saying Malak. It in a Jewish way like Ian does.
Malak.
Malak.
There you go.
Malak.
Yeah. Well,
so with Mike Mignola writing and art.
And might I mention, I've never read a Hellboy comic.
Oh.
Yeah. So this is new for me.
Okay, well, I hope you like Hellboy because I love it.
Well, good. I hope
love
I do
me some Hellboy.
Hope I do too. Now, Captain Britain and MI-13, if memory serves me, this is the beginning of a new story arc.
Okay.
So hopefully you'll be able to catch on. Did you read Pete Wisdom?
No.
Okay. One of these days, if you get a chance, it's out in hardcover. I think it might be out in trade also. Pick up Paul Cornell's Pete Wisdom Mini. That was put out in trade.
After I pick up the X-Factor stuff I'm supposed to be reading.
Right.
And the Buffy the Vampire Slayer comics and a Manhunter.
Put this ahead of Manhunter and Buffy. Put this ahead of Manhunter and Buffy, right? Because it was very good, and it was a Max title, so there was cursing.
Awesome.
And boobies.
Love cursing.
And boobies.
Fuck yes.
Yeah.
And boobies, I don't need in a Max title. I got them in Avengers Initiative with Harvey Toebow.
Ha-ha!
Huzzah! And Camel Toe. Take that, 11-year-old.
Yeah, thank you.
You shouldn't be listening to this.
Yeah, well, you know
but
what
thanks
I
for downloading it. Using up all your dad's bandwidth. Awesome.
You know what else is attractive? Heroes Corner. Worst segue ever.
They're going to like fire us now. Thanks a lot.
HeroesCorner.com. Go there for your October books, which are now available. The October special is as follows. Mercury and the Murd, the collected edition, which collects issues 1-4. It is a Sean Pryor book from PK Media. Sean Pryor is an awesome dude who I certainly want to support. I'm the guy who turned him over to Heroes Corner. So luckily, Sam and Bob gave him the nice Heroes treatment, no pun intended. And what the hell, pun intended. So that is now the book that is going to be the special. It is $2.59, so it's a super discounted price for 48 pages. Along with that, you will receive a free sketch print by Katie Cook, katiecandraw.com, and a free copy of the retail price $3.99, Dark Reign, New Nation number 1, which will begin the brand new story arc over at Marvel. So you're getting a bunch of great stuff this month over at Heroes Corner. And just to give you some of the other discounts randomly on their website as it loads here, because I actually want to, you know, spread the love a little bit. So load. My internet has been hella slow lately, so give me a moment. There we go. Okay, so some of the other deals this month, just so you folks can know, Haunted Tank number 1, 75 cents. So that is a brand new book out there. Warhammer Fire and Honor is $10.19, 40% off. House of Mystery trade, that's the first couple of issues of House of Mystery, the new one, 50% off for $5. And Marvel's Eye of Camera number 1, the first book back in the world of Marvels in a long, long time. You ever read Marvels?
No.
You should. Another one.
It's on my list.
Good.
It's on my list.
Okay, good. I have the trade. I've only read a little bit of it, but it's good stuff. And that one is 75% off for $1. And our specials, since Brent got the same last time, I'll say them this time, are as follows. We've got Secret Invasion Dark Reign, 75% off retail. So the regular price is $2.99. It's only 75 cents on Heroes Corner.
Actually, Marvel fucked up. It's $3.99, and so 75% off that would be $1. So you're going to get it for $1. $1!
And that is Brian Michael Bendis and Alex Maleev. Green Arrow, Black Canary, number 15, the premiere of the new writer, 50% off. Still the same artist. It's still Mike Norton. $2.99, $1.50 Heroes Corner price. By the way, what do you think of Norton's art now? Because I know at first you were sort of hot and cold on it.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, you're still okay about it?
It's still okay about it. I mean, nothing too special so far.
Yeah, right. I'm digging it, but you know that already. And Akihabara at Deep, graphic novel, volume 1. It's a manga, folks. Regular retail of $11.99, only $6 on Heroes Corner, 50% off. Get all your books bagged and boarded for free. $75 or more. You get free shipping for once a month over at Heroes Corner with the best customer service around, heroescorner.com. All right, you got anything else you want to add, Brent?
I was going to ask, when I'm reading that manga, since I'm going to be reading it backwards,
mm-hmm.
should I hang myself upside down by my legs, too, while I'm at it?
Hmm.
Just to get the full backwards effect?
Well, just make sure to turn the book the right way, because I don't want you reading it upside down.
See, now that would be a challenge. Upside down, reading the book upside down, and flipping it backwards.
I wouldn't recommend it.
No? Okay. No, I wouldn't, just asking.
It's going to be uncomfortable.
I figured. Plus, I don't want it's probably a thick book, right?
Yeah.
Six bucks.
Plus, I don't want you falling and winding up shivoed.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Yeah. So,
Brandon, you'd have to listen to like a South Park episode all about Cassina.
That end. So, Brent, what do you think? Well, thank you very much for your insight, Brent.
Welcome.
All right. So, before we go, you got any BK's bullets you want to pimp?
Actually, there will be one coming up down the road. My girlfriend we were in Barnes & Noble, and she was like, hey, you did something really cool for me the other day. Let me do something cool for you. Pick something. And I was like, what?
What'd you do?
And so, unfortunately, all the main DC and Marvel stuff I was already getting in singles. That's the problem with getting a whole bunch of stuff now, mm-hmm. is that your trade selection is kind of limited.
Yeah.
Because chances are you've already read it. So I was just looking. They had the first 30 Days of Night trade, which I haven't read. So I was kind of like, huh, okay, well, it's kind of thin for like 20 bucks. And then I saw the emo book that we're going to be reviewing in 2 months, the Umbrella Academy.
Under my first umbrella.
The first trade, Apocalypse Suite. So I was like, you know what? I'm not spending my own money on it. I might as well get it, see what the hype's about, so I can come at the second book with a real opinion.
Well, good. I'm glad
so
to hear it.
So I read it, and I will save my comments for the BK's bullets.
Okay. All right. I'm glad to hear that you at least read it and gave it a shot, even if he's emo.
Only because it's free.
Only because it's free. Okay.
Only because it was free.
Yes, but the other one's only 75 cents.
Yes.
Yeah. What'd you do for your girlfriend?
I have to do it for the show anyway. She had some family issues. Somebody died, so I was there for her. I was being a good boyfriend.
That sucks. Well, I send my condolences.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now that we've gone all down, you had one for Raging Bullets too, right?
I did, and it got aired. It was the Batman one. Batman Vampire trade and Batman City of Crime.
Sweet.
And apparently the Smallville one is supposed to be, you know, sometime. They were going to talk. They said, we're going to talk Smallville with Art Lyon next week, well, or 2 weeks from now.
I mentioned
rescheduled.
I mentioned it to Sean. I meant
totally
it to
not coming anymore.
I mentioned it to Sean when we were at Super Show, you know, and I told him, you know, that you mentioned, like, well, first off, I want to, you know, mentioned that this, you know, this is 1 year of me doing BK's bullets, so, you know, just one of the, and he just cracked up hysterically, you know, because now you've been doing it for 2 years.
It's gonna be like two. Yeah.
You've been doing it for 2 years, and in the last year you've done like one.
That's why. No, I did another one. I did another like Batman one. I thought something else.
Okay, all right.
I've done it like at least two or three in the past year.
Oh, I know why you've only
just
done.
Fell off the wagon when I got more involved with this fucking show.
Oh, sure. Blame being a co-host on Comic Timing for your problems. All right.
It's just school got in the way, and I'm not reading as much stuff that we're not talking about here.
Uh-huh. So. All right. Okay.
When I do find stuff, I will do it for him. It's just a matter of time.
Yes, indeed. And make sure to listen to 73 if you haven't had a chance yet, if you're just listening to 74 because it's reviews. We talk it's basically our like post-summer wrap-up where we had Sean Cummings on and the Fixer himself from the Fixer's Hideout talking that. And we also had Sean's wrap-up of his San Diego experience, which is a bit dated, but we're mostly talking about him behind a desk, so that's not too bad.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
I mean, summer. That was the summer. That was his summer, so summer wrap-up.
It's
know.
True. It's certainly true. And one other comment coming soon as part of the comic, the comics podcast theme month. We will be having an episode on politics in comics. And we got two guests lined up for that one so far, which are looking pretty damn awesome. So if that holds up, you should be seeing that as episode 75. 75, eh?
I can't believe it's been 75.
Yeah, and you've been here for all 75 episodes. It's amazing.
No, I have not.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, 26 or 36.
It sort of feels like $75, though.
Nah.
Well, you know, spending 2 hours with you is like spending like 12 hours with anybody else.
Oh, gee, thanks.
Yeah, no problem. All right, I think we're done here, unless you got something else you want to mention.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Excellent. Excellent. Cool. And actually, wait, what the hell else was I going to say?
Any blogs coming up? I read one you put up a while ago, but you didn't put anything on the forum for it.
Yeah, about that. No, I should probably put it on the forum. No, we might have one or two blog posts coming up, actually. I'm thinking of doing something about the cancellation of Minx. The Minx line got canceled, and I was sort of looking forward to a couple of the books coming out of that. So I'm going to touch on that a little bit, and what they could have done better, and what they didn't do, and what they should have done, and blah, 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 blah. So that might be coming up soon.
You got
anything?
No. I'm totally swamped with work. Not work, but schoolwork and stuff. So
it's schoolwork, which means you're at least going to be awake for these shows.
Yes, actually. You know, and it's only 11:30 now, so we're good.
Right.
All we're right. good.
I think we're indeed good, so let me outro us here. The email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at thecomicforums.com, graciously hosted by Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com, and we've got forums over at Heroes Corner, don't forget that. So if you're ever over at heroescorner.com and want to talk some Comic Timing and don't feel like opening up another tab in your browser, you can do it over at Heroes Corner, because they're friendly, trust us. We're also members of the Comic Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com and the League of Comic Book Podcasts over at comicbooknoise.com/league. Please vote for us on Podcast Alley. Please dig us on dig.com. And for the love of God and all that is holy, please send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes. They are so graciously appreciated. You have no idea. They make me feel so good inside. Honestly, it's like my whole body is warm and filled with delicious goo.
Yeah, I don't know what to say to that.
Exactly why I paused. And for Brent, for Ian, that's me. I'm Ian Levinstein, reminding everybody out there that there's always time for comics, especially when we review them.
So it was a little better. Yeah. You still need some work, though.
I know. speaking of Raph and traveling and shit, I'm going to find out from him in the next week or so whether or not he can make it to MegaCon, because he was making these, like, maybe things at me, so I got to fucking find out. If not, then I'm just booking my flight, and I'm going to get my ass out there, because I definitely want to have that going. I'm going to ask the parents if they can pay for the flight again. If they can, that would make my life easier, but if not, then I'll take it out of my own pocket. But, and hotel room should be fucking easy. I just got to find out from Brandon what his deal is and whether or not friends of his are coming. And I got to maybe find a third person to be in the room, because it's easier to split that way, especially if you get in the suite.
Well, I don't know how many CGS guys are going down there. We can split it with them if everything else falls through, though.
That's possible. But
I don't know how well you guys are know each other or anything like that.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure I'd love to have Peter in my room.
Teeny peeny.
Suck on that, Peter.
Yeah. That's in February, right? Man, I haven't even been to their website forever.
That's in February, yeah. That's in February about 2 weeks before New York Comic Con. If I'm remembering correctly, yeah. So it's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, February 27th to March 1st.
Okay, and in that case, it's 2 weeks after New York Comic Con. 2 weeks after New York Comic Con.
So, oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah, because New York Comic Con is the middle of the month, I think.
Yeah.
And I got to find out about Podcast Arena soon, because, you know, pretty soon I might have to start saying, New York Comic Con is bigger, better, and has
a
good amount of space.
Are you a fanboy? MTV's True Life wants to hear your story. Are you a young person who is obsessed with a certain comic book, video, or TV game?
Wait a minute.
They'll follow you to Comic-Con or MegaCon.
The MegaCon? Serious?
Or apparently. This is on the MegaCon website.
Okay.
But I mean, this was posted August 6th, 19th. So.
August 6th, 19th?
August 19th, 2008.
I was about to say, like, what?
George Perez is coming. Oh, they already have a bunch of people on here.
Oh, hey, Perez.
Jimmy Palmiotti.
Nice.
So we can tell him we reviewed his book. He might not be happy with mine, but, you know.
Oh.
Chuck Dixon. Chris Claremont.
Claremont? Damn.
Mark Waid's gonna be there again, so we're gonna have a follow-up.
I'm sorry.
or yeah, we'll be like, remember us? We were before that creepy Asian guy. Oh yeah, you guys. Yeah, right. Like, I remember.
Hey, remember us? We took that pissed off picture of you.
Greg Land. Oh, we can get some Greg Land on there.
Land. Have you been Vance Skyver? Any shit, man?
Yeah, I've been downloading it. Jim Chung there again. McNiven again, so it means Maury's gonna be there. Frank Cho.
Cho.
Paul Pelletier.
Sean Cummings and Travis Irwin.
Mike Perkins, Adam Hughes, Amanda Connor. That's all I got right now.
Yeah, Sean Cummings and Travis Irwin.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
No, they're not on there.
Yeah, I know they're not on there yet, but they're gonna be.
Any media guests?
Yes, Ian Livingston of Comic Con.
Supergirl.
Oh yeah?
Laura Vandervoort. The guy from the Monkees.
Oh.
Marco.
Wait, which guy from the Monkees?
Mickey.
Oh, dude, Mickey Dolenz is gonna be there?
Yeah.
Oh, badass. What the fuck is Marco with comics though?
I don't know. Marco Kidder. Again, looking old.
Uh-huh.
New Battlestar Galactica, Jennifer Haley, Luciana Caro, and looks like Dirk Benedict and Herbert Jefferson Jr. from the original Battlestar are going to be there, as well as Anne Lockhart from the original Battlestar. Ooh, Lou Ferrigno. All right.
What?
Yeah. And some TNA Impact girls.
Oh, whoop-de-fuck.
Sweet.
Yeah, sweet. Sweet to you, but I don't give two shits.
Yeah, I don't care. Laura Vandervoort, I want a picture with her.
Yeah. Hi, Mandy, how you doing?
And, wait, who's this? James Callis from the new Battlestar?
James Callis sounds familiar. I don't know who. I don't remember
He's
who he plays.
Dr. Gaius Baltar.
Oh, dude, Baltar's gonna be there. Kick ass. Kick ass. I gotta get
Celix.
I need to get my picture with Baltar.
And, Celix.
That would be
Jennifer Haley.
Yeah, not Celix. It's Helix.
Oh well, it says Celix on here.
Okay.
Neato.
Fucking Baltar, man. I might actually convince Chris. I might actually wind up convincing Chris to go if I say that Baltar's going to be there.
You should.
Yeah. I mean, I doubt she will, considering that she still thinks it's like one of those podcasting things, and you know that's all I'm going to be doing the entire fucking time.
I gave you like 2 hours to yourself on Saturday and Sunday. Come on.
Yes. And I gave you 2 hours to yourself with Brandon.
I know. Like, yeah.
With Brandon, so that he could sex you up.
At least not with Raph. Yeah.
Because he thinks you're hot.
I know. This is why Brandon should come out again, so we can have another moment like that.
Oh,
an awkward moment.
I can't wait. Well, I mean, hopefully by then we'll be close to episode 75.
Hopefully. Wait, 75? You mean 100? You're putting out... This is 74.
Oh, yeah, you're right. 100. Yeah. We're totally going to get 25 episodes out in the next 2 months. Right, sure. Or 4 months. Come on, man. Who the fuck do you think we are?
You're like 85.
Yeah. We're lucky.
Yeah.
All right, let's get this crap on the way.
Okay,
I'll do the opening like last time.
Yeah. Well, what order do you want to go to? The main two books were my picks,
right.
And Brooklyn was yours.
Okay. So you want to do Blue Beetle first, then back to Brooklyn, then the Initiative.
Okay, Doc. Sounds good to me.
All right, that works. Because I know you've been wanting to talk about Blue Beetle for the last 2 years.
I know, right? Since issue 16 was the original planned.
Yeah.
Planned issue with Sean and Jim.
I listened to your BKs, by the way.
What?
No, your bullets.
The Gotham Knight and whatnot.
Yeah, no, it was good. It's good. I like the Batman music in the background.
Yeah, I got Mandy bought me the Umbrella Academy trade, so I read that this weekend.
Oh, what do you think?
So there's gonna be a BK's bullets on Comic Timing out on that as soon as I read it a second time because I'm still a little lost. But
okay, but did you at least like it?
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Fucker, suck on that, bitch.
Yeah.
Oh man. Oh, and so I can let you know, because obviously I went to a con, so I gotta let you know this. Chris bought me hentai. I'm not even looking to buy it this time. Like, I'm talking to a couple buddies from Brooklyn College, and she comes on over and she's like, "I got you a present." I'm like, "Oh no." Yeah, it was more Supergirl porn.
Oh, God. Great.
Yeah, yeah, my cash completes.
Your treasure trove.
My precious.
Hold on, let me pull him up.
Come on, let me hold him up. God forbid I be prepared for this little promo.
I thought you were going to go through it. You're on a roll, man. Where do I find the specials?
In your email.
I knew that. View all specials and discounts. That's what I want.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Schwing.
Yeah, or you could just go to the October newsletter for Heroes Corner.
Do I want to read the little blurb?
Yeah, sure.
Nah, we won't.
No.
All right, ask me that question again.
All right. Okay, you can insert that wherever you want.
Not really. No.
You can insert that wherever the fuck you want.
Okay, we'll see if I remember to get to it.
Yes, please do.
So, anyway.
Holy crap, man.
Oh, shit. This is going to be a mess.
Yeah.
You're going to have to edit it, and I'm not. You're too good at that.
So, Dr. Midnight.
Right, so... You're welcome.
I made you cough with that one. What are you doing? What are you doing? Swallow whatever you're drinking.
So, yeah. Oh, God.
So,
what the fuck? You're doing the next one.
Yes, I know I'm doing the next one.
All right. I thought I was going to be hearing, like, crinkling of back issues.
Well, I have the trade, so that wouldn't be the case anyway. But...
the flipping of pages.
Yeah, well, or no, I'm just wikiing the pedia.
Are you pedia the wicking?
Load. Okay, good. Membership.
Camel toe.
Heroes Corner, Rios is Pini. Heroes Corner. Yeah, cut that out. Oh, I love Heroes, but what the fuck, man? What the fuck?
Actually, I really liked that last episode last night.
It was much better than the premiere. Yeah, nobody.
No,
seemed nobody
I thought
seemed
the premiere was great.
No, the premiere was good, but everybody seemed out of character.
Oh. See, I thought those first two episodes for the premiere were fucking awesome. A lot better than second season. And then last night, I was watching the Jack and the Siler thing, and I was like, I kind of like this. It's really interesting.
I'm reminded of the first episode of Saturday Night Live from this season where Michael Phelps was on talking about his new cop show, Swim Cop.
See, swim to docks and... investigate murders.
Yes, exactly. Like, I'm thinking like
he's like a human flipper then. Stops robbers by jumping up out of the water and kicking them and then going back in or something.
The new buddy cop drama, Horn Rim and the Brain Guy.
Dude, Aquaman would be Michael Phelps. Done deal. He's ugly as fuck, but man, he can swim.
Problem
no
solved.
No special effects needed.
He can get radio signals with those ears.
Just put Matt Damon's face on Michael Phelps' body.
Matt Damon. Avengers the Initiative.
Did you... I never got any feedback on the last one. Did you like my little song things that I put in there? The little song clips?
That
was timed up really nicely.
it was certainly different. I think you used just enough where we wouldn't get sued, so that's...
Yeah, I just wanted it to play the just the two of us part, right as you said it, and then exit out. And then I want to go with the flow, you know, right as I was doing it, but I wasn't even singing the song right, so I couldn't find that part, so I was like, fuck it, I'll just put the song in where it says go with the flow.
And I swear to God, if you play under my umbrella, under what I was doing, I'm going to fucking kill you.
Actually, the thought crossed my mind when you were doing that.
Well, yeah. All I can think of is the Adult Swim commercial where they have some dude comparing, actually not comparing, saying that you could lead Zombie who the hell did Zombie? What the hell is the name? Garbage. Yeah, Zombie by Garbage into...
The Cranberries.
Zombie by the Cranberries into Under My Umbrella. Under My Umbrella. Yeah, all right. I'm pressing stop now. I think we have enough back material.
Right.